in a traffic jam, staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune, one kid helps pay the rent, one could end up going to prison, one just might be president.
Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Good morning and welcome to the Randy Tobler Show. Along with executive producer Leah Almstadt, I am Randy Tobler. We are the Randy Tobler Show. Leah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. And we're going to bring you a big show today. Just in a few minutes here at 6:25, we'll be talking with Tim Jones. Who better than a political animal, former Speaker of the House, and of course an attorney, to help us unpack the wild and wacky week that was. It was crazy. Tim will be joining us at 6:25. 7:45, Virginia Cruta, our usual get-together with her. Looking forward to her opining on the happenings, not only of the week, but the day. And then later on in the program, we'll be talking with John O'Connor. John O'Connor actually is a former federal prosecutor. He's written a book on Watergate. And the reason this is going to be of interest, of course, we're going to talk about some of his unpacking of the Watergate and the post-Watergate fallout. But he actually represented Deep Throat. Remember Deep Throat? The guy that really was the one that gave Woodward and Bernstein their information, the insider. And in the context of whoever it was, because it's been reported that someone at Mar-a-Lago must have, you know, squealed to the FBI. And that's why the frothing of energy and effort towards getting some 11 boxes that they took out the other day, or was it 20 boxes? It's been reported variably. Long and short of it is, there's been a lot of talk about a chatter about an insider saying, hey guys, even though he gave you 15 boxes in February, there's a lot more. So the receipt for property along with just the basic warrant was released yesterday after a lot of hue and cry and a lot of consternation and gnashing of teeth and wailing. And the receipts for property mean this is what they took. And this included a grant of clemency for Roger Stone. Remember crazy Roger Stone, the old guy who they raided his house and pulled him out in the middle of the night, and CNN just happened to be standing by. Information regarding President Macron of France and various classified TSSCI with top secret documents. Also some photos, miscellaneous secret documents, miscellaneous top secret documents. They say that crimes that the U.S. code referenced in the warrant included gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. There's also talk about concealment, removal of mutilation of documents. That's section 2071. And, they also talk about anyone who in that context is willfully and unlawfully concealing, removing, mutilating, obliterating, falsifying, or destroying shall be fined or imprisoned, not more than 3 years or both, and shall be disqualified from holding any office. You don't think there's an ulterior motive here, do you? So there's 1519, section 1519, that talks about obstruction of justice. So there's things under the Espionage Act. The left-stream media, the legacy media, is using inflammatory, high-powered terms like, oh, there's some nuclear things there. There's some nuclear documents there. And then, of course, the Espionage Act violations, telegraphing that that's eventually what an indictment against former President Donald Trump could do. Is, in fact, it going to go that way? Or is Merrick Garland and the FBI going to have more egg on their face? Only time will tell. But this is according to even people who are not totally in the tank for Trump people. I'm talking about prosecutors, attorney, former, federal officials, FBI people saying this is egregious. This was over the top. And it's never been done in the 232 years of this history, of this Constitution. So we'll have to see where it all goes. You were invited to join the program. Always love when you call Leah, say hi, Leah, how you doing? Talk to Leah a little bit. Welcome her as the new producer of the show. Max has stepped aside to pursue some other pursuits. 314-912-1019. 314-912-1019 here on News Talk STL. And on your dial, there's not a dial anymore, is it? You push your buttons now, right, Leah?
Yeah.
There's no dials.
Yeah.
101.9, 94.1 on the FM dial. I think more people, well, a lot of people I know anyway, listen to the app or the website. It's an Alexa skill as well. And some people that can't catch the program in the morning because it's a sleep-in morning for many until the kids, you know, wipe the sleep out of their eyes and then all holy you-know-what breaks loose. A lot of folks will wait and listen to either the podcast on newstalkstl.com or the Encore presentation on Sunday evenings from 9 to 12. So, Lee, I have to ask you a question. One of the things that has absolutely just baffled me was early in the week when the details of the raid were coming out, it was reported, and it hasn't really been talked a lot about since, but it was reported that the FBI agents, and the warrant says they could go through, I think it was 45 rooms. I mean, it's pretty broad, in its scope. But they reportedly were going through Melania's wardrobe. Now, as a young lady, full of prim and proper demeanor, if the house, you live with your folks, you live alone, you live by yourself.
Yeah, I still live at home.
Okay, you live at home because you're in school still. Wise, that way you can save your money. You don't have to pay for, you don't have to pay for rent. My wife and I did that too. When she lived at her home and I lived in my home, we went to UMSL. So all those years we were able to save money, you know, and we went to school together, but we lived at home, and it's a good thing for you to do that. Mm-hmm. So let's just say theoretically that they raided your dad's house. I don't know, let's theoretically. And then they went through your wardrobe. What would you think of that? Doesn't that seem odd, creepy, strange? What in the world are they looking for in Melania's wardrobe?
Yeah, I definitely feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. But. Well, I had a listener call the other day on the Columbia show that I do, the drive time show from 4 to 6 on the Zimmer radio network over in Columbia. Guy called and said, starting with J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI has a long history of dressing up in women's clothes. You remember that about the stories about J. Edgar Hoover? You know mm-hmm. your history, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And then someone texted me last week and said, no, they were looking for some specific briefs. But up bump. Get it? I'm just saying. I don't know. It's early in the morning, Leah.
Yeah.
Early in the morning.
Yep.
So here's what they found. Executive grant of clemency, leather-bound box of documents, potential presidential record, binder of photos, boxes labeled A1, A12, A15, miscellaneous secret documents, more boxes labeled A16, A17, A18, a lot of boxes labeled with an A followed by a number, miscellaneous secret documents, miscellaneous confidential documents, miscellaneous top secret documents. So interesting. They go on, and it looks like it's numbered up to 33 boxes is what I see. And it all was signed by his attorney and I guess the agent 6:19 p.m. on Monday. Now, another question is raised, and that is this warrant was dated. Now, remember that the storyline that's being reported is that starting in February, when he returned 15 boxes of goodies, ongoing then, I guess there were some additional requests. And in June, they had another meeting, and it was described that Trump came in and said, hi, how you doing? Let us help you if anything we can do. And then Merrick Garland the other day implied in his little 4-minute nothing cricket chirping talk, it really didn't offer much except to scold us for suspecting that the FBI may be corrupt. He said, well, we always try to use the less intrusive means, implying that somehow there became tension and resistance to handing over things sometime between June and now. What doesn't make sense, though, and even Brett Baer on Fox News, and Brett's a hardcore newsman, right? I mean, he's not really an opinion guy. He said it doesn't make sense that the date on this warrant was the 5th. And if it, and they talk about the urgency and as one of the reasons in the warrant. So if that's the case, if it was on the 5th, why'd they wait to the 8th? And the warrant was good until the 19th. So if it was such urgency, and if there were nuclear documents, and there was, you know, some kind of national security matters, that it was timely and important that they get that, you know, you begin to wonder what's going on here. Why did they do that when they did that? Why pull the trigger then? Here we are in a political season. It's being reported that some of the Democrats, if you look at some of the congressional polls, have, 41-41. I saw a poll the other day in terms of, you know, Democrat, GOP, what's your choice in Congress? Now, that's a generic poll. It's not district by district. But you wonder if they're just trying to distract from what and trying to add to the tailwinds behind the Democrats, who have had some momentum with the passage of the Bidenflation bill. And we'll talk about that throughout the morning as well. Just it's very troubling. I don't know why that it bothers me. The timing doesn't seem right if it's so urgent. But there's one good thing I know, Leah. If there were nuclear codes and he had them locked at Mar-a-Lago and they were in a safe, maybe he was actually protecting the country by not handing them over to Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
Do you want Sleepy Joe having the nuclear codes? I mean, think about it. Yeah, that could be very dangerous. This is the same guy that shakes hands with people that aren't there. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He did it again. There was when the Senate passed the thing the other day, someone was giving a speech, was talking. I guess it was Schumer. Yeah, Schumer was talking. And so there's four people behind him. I forget, someone to Schumer's right, then the president, then Nancy Pelosi, then another congresswoman. Schumer goes to the president's right and shakes the hand of that person, shakes the president's hand, shakes the hand of Nancy Pelosi, and then the person to her left. And as Schumer's shaking the last congresswoman's hand, he turns around. Just as he's beginning to turn around to go back to the podium, Joe Biden stands there like a mannequin with his hand out, like looking like, yeah, it's, I mean, the video is just incredible. It's another one of those.
Wow.
Joe, hello, Joe. Are you there, Joe? Another one of those incidents. It's just, I don't know. The guy just makes you scared. If you had, look what happened in Afghanistan. It's not fun. You know, we can talk about nuclear codes and humor because hopefully, you know, there'd be people that would help him show restraint. But my goodness, should this guy be in charge of, you know, the nuclear codes, the nuclear arsenal? Should he be the commander in chief? I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. And when you talk about corruption, you talk about the double standard. Where is the investigation? Where is the raid on Hunter Biden? Yeah, they have his laptop. That's all Christopher Wray would say. Where's the raid on his house? Where is the raid on crooked Hillary Clinton's house? What, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? Where's that? And the fact that they raided Mar-a-Lago, unprecedented. Either there's really something there, or this is the most corrupt abuse of power this nation has ever seen. Well, that's my opinion. What is yours? Give me a call at 314-912-1019. Tim Jones will join us here in just a little bit. Anxious to hear what Tim has to say, as we have had you talk about a week that was. It's just a full jam-packed of breaking news. It seems every afternoon something was up. We still await the affidavit that is underlying this, which would really tell us a lot about the charges that they intend to level on him and that they think there's data support. We'll talk with him and ask him from a legal perspective, a political perspective, how to tie it all together and what if we can make any sense of it when we come back here on the Randy Tobler Show, right around the corner on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. Glad you're here. Good morning. Welcome to a beautiful morning here in the metro area. Randy Tobler with you on News Talk STL. And boy, I'm I'm just still trying to recover from the back and forth and just frantic week it was. And whenever I'm trying to put things together, I always like to tap into the expertise of my friend, former Speaker of the House, great attorney, and of course, a fabulous talk show host, not only here on News Talk STL every afternoon with his sidekick, Chris Arps. Boy, that's a great show. Tim and Chris show every afternoon here on News Talk, but in Springfield, and just a prolific broadcaster as well, Tim Jones, who now joins us. Thanks for the early call this morning, Tim.
Hey, Doc, no problem. Always a pleasure to be on with you. And, you know, no one says those nice things about me on Twitter. It's really kind of you to...
No, I see that. I don't know whether people are more, whether people have more epithets against you or Donald Trump on Twitter. You're a lightning rod for those.
Yeah, I know, Doc. I sometimes bring it on myself, but it's fun to mix it up with the left, you know, because it's easy to expose them for their hypocrisy.
When you're talking when you're saying the truth, you're going to get people that can't stand the truth, and all they can do is make the ad hominem attacks, and that's what I see. I mean, when people don't have a good argument, they go ad hominem. That's what I think. How about you?
Exactly. And, you know, it's always a debate between what is the public policy versus, you know, what their feelings might be or what, you know, what they feel we should be doing, you know, and it's that's when it always strays into never land, because, you know, you look at the policies of Donald Trump, who I know you've been speaking about in your first segment here and everything that happened this week. That's what they're really rebelling against, Doc. I don't think it honestly has at its core anything to do with the mean tweets or his bombast or his personality. It's the fact that his policies were, number one, they were working for Americans, and number two, they were anathema to the deep state and to this, doctor, this shadow government that's been growing and growing and growing for, what, 5-6 decades now. Founding fathers and mothers are rolling over in their graves looking at the fact that Washington, D.C. has become an industrial complex in and of itself, right? Never was supposed to be like that.
Well, it's so entrenched, and I think this is now the titan battle between the disruptors, and that movement is led by Donald Trump. And for all of his, you know, quirks and his tweets and things that maybe we wish he'd dial back a little bit, the basic tenet of, hey, we have got an entrenched deep state that is taking over your freedom and we must fight back, that theme frightens the hell out of them because they don't want to lose their power. Hey, but Tim, I have some good news for you. I don't know if you guys caught this, but I was able to land an exclusive interview with Trump after the raid. Just got a little bit of his ire. You know, you've seen tweets and other things. Wanted to play a little bit of my my special, just a little clip of my conversation with Donald. Here it is.
Oh, exciting.
Well, the FBI raided my beautiful house in Mar-a-Lago. You know about it. You heard about it. And it's a disgrace. And they even went inside my safe, and there was nothing in there. It was empty. It looked like a CAT scan of Sleepy Joe's brain. It was empty. Nothing there except a big, beautiful note. Let's go, Brandon. And you see what it says. We're coming back better and stronger than ever. You know, the FBI never touched Crooked Hillary's house. 33,000 emails. Where the hell did they go? Nobody knows. They never touched Eric Swalwell. I call him his flatulence, Spartan Eric Swalwell. He slept with Fang Fang. And they're not interested in Hunter Biden, the laptop from hell, Hunter Biden, where he did crack and nasty things with hookers when you talk about it. But they didn't want to talk about that. The FBI is a corrupt, disgusting joke, and we're going to put a stop to all of it, believe me.
I don't know if you know this fella, but he does a great impersonation.
Yes.
His name's Sean Farish, and he is hilarious. And boy, I mean, you play that for people without watching him, and they're like, my gosh, that sounds exactly like Trump. Pretty funny, huh?
Yeah, it is. I've seen him. He's a young, thin guy, and it's like, how in the world does that voice come out of that body? He is brilliant. He's so funny. He's got the timing and the cadence and the voice down pat. Yeah, it's really brilliant. And you know, Doc, you kill him with comedy. You kill him with comedy, right? And there's a lot of truth in that that young man's impersonation there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when he says, you know, they got into the safe and reportedly it was empty as a CAT scan of Joe Biden's brain. It's just that's beautiful. So, tell me, from a legal perspective, is there any chance, until and if an actual indictment is rendered, that we would be able to see the underlying affidavit, the predicate for why the warrant was signed by the magistrate. How does that usually go? Do you have to wait until there's actually charges filed, or how is that likely to go?
Well, Doc, you know, in the age of Donald Trump, all of the general rules always get thrown out the window, right? We're always in uncharted territory, and we're in uncharted territory again here. Yes, you're right. In the usual workings of the criminal justice system, in our jurisprudential system here, typically search warrants remain sealed and private and under wraps until an indictment is rendered, and even sometimes after the indictment is rendered, depending on if the indictment itself is sealed or not. Sometimes those search warrants remain confidential. But this search warrant, the gist of it, has already been made public because both sides wanted it to be so. You can always, with consent of the parties, Randy, you can, in the law, you can almost always accomplish anything you want when both parties are consenting. And here you have both parties basically like calling each other's bluffs like kids on the school ground, which makes me believe even more so that this whole matter is simply yet, as you've discussed, the 15th time that we're going to investigate Donald Trump for something that's never been investigated before, using some arcane statute that's never been utilized before. I mean, here we go again, is what I think most of the American people think. And this is where we're turning the justice system and our Constitution and the nearly 250 years of our great republic on its head. The great one, Mark Levin, this week said this phrase that stuck with me, Randy, and he said, "Are we standing on the precipice of a post-constitutional America?" What does he mean by that? Well, that means an America where the Constitution and the Bill of Rights don't matter. And Randy, once again, I think what we've got here is, for the 4,000th time, we have the man, the subject, Donald Trump, and the deep state is in search of the crime. Usually, Randy, almost you hope it's 100% of the time, you have a crime that's been committed, and then you find the person responsible, right? You have the action that has wronged the American people. Once again, we have an action that hasn't harmed anybody. And in a moment of clarity for your audience, I don't think Donald Trump is going to be taken down by some leftist librarian from the National Archives. That's the latest protagonist here, right? Because the act itself is something that does not apply to him, because he would just say the opposite, right? He is the classifier of all information that was generated during his presidency. So, Randy, there's no magic words or magic wand, or we don't have to do a little voodoo dance or anything. All he's got to say is, "I declassified those documents, every single one of them." And that's the end of the story. That's the end of the story. Unless they have him on tape or a believable, credible witness saying, "Oh, no. On these documents right here, I know for a fact the president said they're not." Well, then it's a he said, she said otherwise. And as long as Donald Trump says these documents were unclassified, they were declassified, that's why I brought them to Mar-a-Lago in the first place. And that's why I was working with you people up until a week ago when you sprung this whole thing on me. You were the ones who told me to put the locks on the doors. You knew all about them. Now suddenly I've committed a crime? Come on. I think the American people, Randy, are going to once again start rolling their eyes really soon and go, "Here we go again, 6 years in a row, 8,000 investigations later. They've got the man, but they once again don't have the crime."
That's really interesting analysis. And I think that's something that is interesting as far as, is there any process that, or any paper trail that he could point to or should be able to point to, when you do declassify something, does the because I it's clear to me that he couldn't retrospectively declassify something, because he had it and he shouldn't have had it, and now, I declassify, because he's no longer the president. Right. But is there some kind of a statement that could have been made when the boxes were placed, or is that a requirement? How is that going to be adjudicated?
Yeah, Randy, so once again, we don't know, right? Because as I said earlier, once again, we're going to be walking down a dark wandering road of something that once again has never been done before in American history. Randy, we're in uncharted waters here. An American president's home has never been raided with the execution of a search warrant and a charge of defense. And what we do know, Randy, is that with every modern presidency going back several generations, we do know there's always been this tension between the National Archives folks and the former presidents as to documents, right? You can go back and look at all the news stories on this. There's always some debate. It never rises to this level. It never has risen to this level. But there's always this natural tension with, no, you can't take that. Oh, okay, you can take that. No, you really can't take that. And we saw it with Barack Obama. We've seen it with George W. Bush. And we had a case, a very similar case with someone who was not a classifier or a declassifier of information. That would be Hillary Clinton, Randy, who literally we know had tens of millions of documents, some confidential, some top secret, some not, all mixed together on a random private server in a closet in an upstairs room in some place in Colorado. And, you know, I don't recall any allegations yet of Donald Trump trying to bleach bit any of the boxes that he took with him or beating anything with a hammer to destroy the evidence. But that's what Hillary Clinton did. And not a single thing has happened to her or to or others similarly situated. So, Randy, it's an arcane statute that they're using. And usually when you take these things that have never been used before and apply them in a manner that they were probably never meant to be utilized for, because once again, you've got the man and you're in search of the crime, they tend to eventually fall apart. But Randy, I don't know. Ultimately, I don't know, because we're going to have to wait and see what is the process. What are the steps? What has to be done? And I guess we're going to learn all that in the next few weeks and months ahead.
We're talking with Tim Jones, host of the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on News Talk SEL every afternoon here from 3:30 to 6. Tim, the stark difference in the application of the law has been a constant theme. I mean, we've seen it with the wink-wink that James Clapper, that John Brennan, well, for that matter, Jim Comey, of course, Hillary Clinton, Hunter Biden. You know, there were several opportunities. Granted, not Merrick Garland. He was not in charge then. He has been in charge with Hunter Biden. But for the others, he hasn't been. But this seeming chasm between the way, you know, Republicans get treated, Roger Stone, Peter Navarro. I mean, my God, these high
Michael Flynn.
Visibility optics. And now we have this. Do you think that this is going to hold sway in the midterms? Do you think that those voters in the middle, maybe even some to the center left, may say, hey, I know I disagree with Donald Trump. I don't even like him. I didn't vote for him. But if they can come for him selectively, if they can come for people on the right selectively, what's to keep the next right administration coming for me selectively? Do you think this could sway things at the ballot box in November?
Well, first of all, I sure hope so. And if people haven't been paying attention up to this point throughout these 6 years of investigations of Donald Trump, while all the other people, Randy, were not investigated for allegedly committing crimes that have been far greater than anything they've accused. When you go back, Randy, and look at the things they accused President Trump of, they're now laughable, aren't they? Right? The notorious alleged PP tape and the Steele dossier and all that stuff, you know, and Stormy Daniels. I mean, what a cast of characters. I mean, it would have been worthy of a Mel Brooks movie, right? If it hadn't all happened in true in reality. I mean, it's the Keystone Cops. It's laughable. But yet it's not laughable, because if people haven't noticed the two-tier system of justice that's been established and promoted in this country by the deep state and those who never want to be out of power in Washington, boy, I think they're going to see it now in this case. This is one which really, I think, strikes home. All the other matters had to do with Donald Trump and, kind of his persona, which, look, he's always said, he's always said, I'm not a choir boy. I'm not a saint. I'm a rough and tumble New York real estate businessman. But now this is something that happened during the presidency, and what it's resulted in is this heavy, heavy hand of the law after they've been allegedly cooperating with you and everything's been all hunky-dory and you're the law, like it normally should be. The lawyers have been working with the lawyers Well, suddenly they throw up their hands and they're frustrated and they go, oh, no, we just got to go get him. You know, Merrick Garland's under fire on Capitol Hill. Joe Biden's approval ratings are in the tank. Inflation is at historic levels. We got all these problems around the globe that Biden doesn't seem to be able to do anything with. And so I look at this, Randy, as the most epic wag the dog moment where they're approaching the midterms and they're freaking out. And will they turn this around with this latest ruse? Will people start saying, well, now I guess Donald Trump's back on the ballot again now. Have you ever seen, Randy, more of a focus on a former president during the next president's term than this? Joe Biden is the president of the United States. He's supposed to be dealing with the issues and problems, and all the national corporate media can talk about and fantasize about and obsess about every single day is Donald Trump. So the never Trumpers and the leftists, Randy, are going to hate Donald Trump and are going to be joyful about this. The people that defend him are going to continue to defend him. You're right. What happens with the great middle of America, those independent centrist voters who usually tend to sway to the right on economic issues and issues of basic fairness, justice, and the rule of law? Well, they look at this and go, this is just the caboose of a long train of ridiculousness that they've tried to use against Donald Trump. Or are they going to be convinced that this is a high crime and misdemeanor and it's something he should be prosecuted for, and whoa, we finally got him? I hope it's the former and not the latter.
I agree. Well, Tim, I got to tell you, I always enjoy your deep and thoughtful analysis, and I think you're spot on. And I'm so, you know what, this is going to backfire on them, I think, in the final analysis, because they were beginning to pick up some tailwinds, that is the Democrats, and getting some momentum when it came to, you know, the abortion issue was creating a lot of dissension. A lot of, a lot of voters were going, oh, man, you guys on the right are pushing too hard on this throughout some of the states. We were hearing some of those rumblings, and they totally, with this move, the Democrats and the administration totally took the wind out of those sails. And I'm not unhappy about that one bit. Tim, thank you very, very much. I know you have a tee off time coming up. All the best to you in your round today. It's a good day for it. Hope you hope everything drops in the cup in birdie style for you.
Absolutely. Randy, a lot of the guys I play with are big fans of yours and mine and the station. So they always ask me to say hello to you. And thanks for all the great work you do. It's always pleasant to and refreshing and energizing to get up early on a Saturday morning before I head down to the course, listen to you for about an hour or so, and get a first cup of coffee in. And it's fantastic work that you do for us.
Well, it's a great, great team here, and I'm so glad that we're able to bring some sense to what is indefensible up in D.C., and you have added just magnanimously to that. Tim Jones, thanks so much. We'll be listening on Monday afternoon to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Randy. Talk soon.
All right, there he is, Tim Jones. Well, callers, what do you say? Is this all just right-wing propaganda we're spewing this morning? Is this just poppycock? Give Leah a call. You know liberals and progressives come to the top of the heap. You guys are first on the queue. But if you're not, I'd like to talk to you, too. 314-912-1019 here on 101.9-94.1 News Talk STL. Give me a buzz right around the corner. Your thoughts coming up. Welcome back to the program. 6:47 in the morning. Every Saturday here on News Talk STL, 6 to 9. I'm Randy Tobler. There's Leah Almstead. And it's always an interesting thing when you hear the back and forth in terms of, for instance, this Inflation Reduction Act that passed the House yesterday and undoubtedly Joe Biden will sign. The Senate Democrat page is, well, this is going to save money at the gas, the energy costs for Americans. This will bring down carbon emissions. This will be the great bill that we said it will be. Life will be good, and you will not have any problems, and you'll save money. On the other hand, a Congressional Budget Office analysis has something else to say. That is that, for instance, when they say that, you know, you've heard the White House and others saying that no low and middle income earners will be taxed or will be audited, then there won't be any problems. Well, it turns out that that's not exactly the case. If they want to make any money with this $60 million spend on 87,000 IRS agents, this is going to come up short, if they're true to word, of $20 billion in the so-called, you know, new revenue that they intend to get with a supercharged IRS. And so since there was an amendment that did not pass, that was offered by the Republicans, the Congressional Budget Office says that the only way they can make this work financially is, in fact, to audit you. If you're a middle income or even a upper middle income earner or a lower income earner. So you look at the blatant lies, the deceit, the nefarious spin that they put on it. And it's very menacing. Is Gene on the line? Who's on the line?
We actually have Jim on the line.
Jim's on the line. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Welcome to this program.
Hi, Randy. How's it going? Hey, I've got a comment about this Levin comment. You know, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, when you get right down to it, it's a piece of paper that was, and I'm not disparaging it, it was well written and it's well thought out and it's a good thing, but it really has to be enshrined in our culture. And I think that was the duty we had as citizens, was to make sure that happened. And obviously we have been massive failures over the years with our public education system and even private education, I'll have to say that. And so the Constitution now means what the people in the country say it means, you know. We used to always say, well, the left says it means what the Supreme Court says it means, and the right just reads it literally. But really, it's always meant what we have thought it to mean. You know what I'm saying? And unless we as a country come to grips with that, we're not going to get it back. And I think what we've got to start doing is quit bitching about all this stuff and start looking forward and come up with a game plan. What are we going to do after this next election to hold not so much the Democrats accountable, but the Republicans? You know, if this is a red wave, like they say, and at least the Republicans are in the House, the power that they've been given through the Constitution is the power of the purse. And I really would like to see some of these bad actors, and I'm going to call them bad actors, Randy, like Ann Wagner and, you know, from here locally, held accountable, because they're going to go off and they're going to vote to fund these budgets. And in those budgets is going to be funding for the IRS and all the DOJ mischief. But then they're going to stand behind, well, we've got to fund the troops, and they're going to pound their chests like they're patriotic Americans because they've just funded the Patriot Act, or they've just funded, you know, a bunch of military spending. But at the same time, they're paying for all this crap that just got thrown at us. And, you know, it's going to be incumbent on people like you guys in the conservative media to really hold their feet to the fire on this. And I hope you do.
Well, Jim, I have mixed feelings as to whether what I think we both want, and most constitutional conservatives I think hold as a core value, and that is limited government, limited to those, you know, enumerated powers in the Constitution, decentralized government. I mean, really, the kind of things that, you know, I think this latest Dobbs decision really embodied. Let's return the power to the people, whether it's a cultural thing or whether it's an economic decision. And what I'm troubled by is, and the only thing I can speak to personally is, for instance, spending on Medicare. You talked about the power of the purse. I can tell you, as both a practitioner and as a hospital leader, I can't see a day in the future ever where normally otherwise conservative Americans 65 and older are going to say, We need to spend less on Medicare because, you know, that's okay. I'll take less benefits because the government needs to spend less. You see what I mean? I think a lot of the spending that both sides of the fence have gotten involved in with federal support, it goes to student loans. It goes to all kinds of things that are not in the Constitution. They're just not. And I don't know how we get by that because people have become used to that. Social Security should be abolished. Medicare should be abolished. But do we have a chance of a snowball in hell of that happening? Because people are too dependent on those now. They've come to become dependent on the sucking off the teat of government. And I say this with all due respect to my friends who I either provide care for or who are listening who are on Medicare or who are living on Social Security.
So here's what I would here's how I'd respond to that, Randy, because you're absolutely right. There's no question about that. But the problem every year are these omnibus budgets where they've rolled everything into one big bill and then everything has to pass or nothing passes. Now, I don't know. I'm sure you're old enough, because I certainly am, old enough to remember the days where they funded the federal government by department. You know, it was department by department. And they need to go back to that. Because you would have funding for half the government for a couple months while they were working on the other half. And they said, well, that's just too onerous. Let's just do it all at once. It makes more sense. It's more efficient. Well, for the sake of inefficiency, I'd like to see them break these out. You know, you fund the Department of Justice one way, then you fund the Department of the Treasury one way, and if we've got issues, and the Republicans can do this once they take power in the House, they can certainly do this. Now they've got to be willing to say it's our way or the highway. But if they don't, this is going to get worse. It's not going to get any better.
Right.
The way
we could start, just to bring it down, and we've only got a minute here, but one of the ways that we could start, for instance, with healthcare spending would be, it looks like my dogs might be, the FBI might be making the raid now. If so, Leah, if the FBI is making the raid because I'm a right-wing talk show host, please just take over, okay?
Okay.
Oh, boy. Look, if Medicare was to say to people, look, we've allotted, you know, $8,000 a year for your care, you go spend it, and we're going to get the bureaucracy out of the way, people would be better, and the government would save money. Anyway, I'm out of time, and I really appreciate the thoughts, because we have to have a strategic direction going forward, and Jim, you're always offering those kind of analysis, and I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for this hour on the program. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Biden inflation bill a little bit more, the IRS so-called, we're not going to bother you, 87,000 agents, and whether it's really going to save you money or not with climate change. More coming up on The Tobler Show here on News Talk STL.